A story from the pages of recent headlines. The date is 21st of August, 2014. The place? One of the most upscale restaurants in Foshan, Guangdong Province, southern China. Many of the diners in this sterling establishment are thoroughly enjoying the special of the day. Spitting cobra soup. A most unique delicacy loved by many in China. The meat of this serpent is rare and particularly prized for not just its distinct flavors, but for its many perceived health benefits. Only the most high-end of restaurants serve the flesh of the spitting cobra due to its scarcity and costliness. Well, speaking of costliness, well, that scream you just heard came from the kitchen. The man who emitted that scream was one Peng Fan, Chef Peng Fan, the preparer of today's special. Oh, bless him. 20 minutes earlier, Mr. Peng very carefully removed a live spitting cobra from a basket in the kitchen. He successfully cut off its head with a powerful pair of pliers, then stripped its flesh and prepared it for the broth. A full 20 minutes later, as he was cleaning up his workspace, he picked up the decapitated head of the spitting cobra, and as he prepared to throw it in the trash bin, the head of the snake removed from its lifeless body for more than 20 minutes had its final revenge and sunk its poisonous fangs into Mr. Peng's hand. Victims of the Indochinese spitting cobra generally asphyxiate after the neurotoxin paralyzes their respiratory system. A police spokesman who was at the scene stated,
"It is a highly unusual case, but it appears to be just an accident. Chef Ping prepared the snake himself and was just unlucky. There was nothing that could be done to save him. Only the anti-venom could have helped, but this was not given in time. It was just a tragic accident."
As difficult as it might be for some to believe, according to experts in the field, reptiles can function for up to more than an hour after losing body parts, or even their entire body. True, one cannot kill what is already dead, but who can say if what is already dead can't kill you? Consider this true story an amuse-bouche, something to whet your appetites as we prepare to plate three corrosive courses we've slaved over just for you this very evening. They're still simmering on the burners, but be assured, they'll go down easy enough. But do beware, darlings. Like the spitting cobra, they might bite. Oh, dear kind listeners, we hope you're feeling peckish and have worked up a hunger, because we are coming to a roiling boil. The juices are flowing, and believe me, tonight, much more than the sauce will be stirred. This is Fireside Mystery Theater.
Thank you.
Welcome, dearest listeners. We're coming to you live from our favorite haunt, the magnificent Slipper Room here in New York City. Thanks for joining us this evening. I mentioned the word thanks as its very fitting underscore to tonight's theme, for we have set our table for a Thanksgiving gathering that you won't soon forget. A spread of dread, a dinner fit for a sinner, a feast of fear. Ponder for just a moment the wondrous and almost mystical power of food and the place it occupies in our lives. We depend on it to survive and sustain. But how beautiful it is to know that a delicious evening meal can bring kindred souls together. Yes, ponder that for a moment. And now put that out of your mind as we serve you the principal platter on tonight's bill of fare. The appetizer for tonight's feast, if you will. A spicy little dish called Fra Diavolo.
I bet I know who it is.
It can be the only person I think it is. We're only missing one person.
Yay!
Finally!
You are always the last one, Scott.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Scott. You didn't tell us you were bringing a date. Woohoo!
Everybody, this is Faith.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Hello.
Another party crasher, Scott? What gives? Just kidding. Come on in.
I'm sorry to be such a bum, but we really had no time to bring anything with us.
Gotta love Scott. He may not bring anything to our potluck dinners, but he always brings a nice dish, if you catch my meaning.
Ha ha.
Scott certainly has the way with the ladies. But I must say, you are the prettiest girl he's ever brought to one of our parties.
Oh, really? Is that right?
Let me take your coats. Oh, what a beautiful Balmain jacket, Faith. I've had my eye on one just like that at Barney's. Looks like you beat me to it.
Well, thank you. Scott gave it to me as a gift.
You are such a petite little thing. Scott, old boy, I hope you're feeding this poor little girl.
Oh, she is so dainty. Cute enough to eat.
That smell! It's driving me crazy. I hope we have enough for everyone.
We have enough to feed an army.
Now, how many guests are here now, would you say, Georgie?
Last count I took was 25. Yes, we should have enough for everyone, as long as Al doesn't hog it all for himself.
You better not be standing in my way unless you're wearing football pads, Georgie.
That smell is wonderful. What is that?
Mussels fra Diavolo. I think the aroma from that sauce is really something else. Hope you're hungry, Faith.
Well, to tell you the truth, I'm not really that hungry at the moment. And I actually have something of an allergy to shellfish.
Oh, no!
Oh, that's too bad.
I could go for a drink, though. I won't refuse.
Oh, no problem. What'll it be?
Scotch and water is fine for me.
Make that too, please, Bridget.
Yes, sir. I'll be right back.
That smell is so intoxicating. The mussels fra di Avolo are already a huge hit, and no one has even tried them yet.
Yeah, I can't remember ever having mussels fra Diavolo. I often see it on the menu at Italian restaurants, but I never ordered it.
It's the first time we've had them at one of our parties. I'm going to help Ted in the kitchen. Be right back.
Are they spicy?
Normally, it's something of a spicy sauce. Pepper flakes and chilies mixed with tomato sauce or something like that. But this smells extra good, like something I've never had before. I'm going to go get a little closer to the kitchen so I can get that first dib once they bring it out here, if you don't mind.
Nah, go right ahead. Be right with you.
Here's your drinks, you gorgeous kids, you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Just give me a holler if you need anything. Gonna give Georgie and Alex a hand in the serving dishes.
Cheers, honey.
Oh, salud. Scott.
Yes, honey?
Can I be a little honest?
Be as honest as you like.
I don't know anyone here. I think I'm the only outsider here, it seems.
That's okay, Faith.
Well, no, it's not. If you have anxiety, especially social anxiety like I do, you remember how I was telling you that I have a hard time with crowds.
Well, we don't have to stay too long. Georgie and Ted are very close friends of mine. I just need to show my face for a little bit.
Scott, I know we've only been dating a few months, but it definitely seems like everyone here knows a lot more about you than I do. It kind of makes me feel, well...
Oh boy, here it comes! Drum roll, please!
Okay, everybody, make way!
Oh my god, look at the size of that serving dish.
Careful, careful, don't spill!
Oh, it's too bad I can't eat shellfish. They sure made a huge batch.
Honey, if you don't mind, I'm gonna go have some of those mussels. They smell so good.
Oh, okay. I'll just hang here for a bit with my drink.
Okay.
Oh, my, it's so good!
They are delicious! I just can't stop eating these!
Oh wow, I've never tasted anything so... Faith, you should at least try some of the sauce.
I probably shouldn't, but thanks.
Hey, you don't eat shellfish either, huh?
Yeah. It's a drag to be us right now, isn't it?
You and I are the only two not eating that stuff, so I know what you mean. I must say, I do envy them. They look like they're really enjoying themselves. Oh, I'm Donovan, by the way.
Oh, Faith. Nice to meet you, Donovan.
Wow, what a fascinating name. Faith. You don't meet many girls with that name these days. You know, I think you're the only one I don't know here. Party crasher, eh?
Faith! Faith, you must try the mussels fra diavolo. They're so good.
I told you I'm allergic. I can't.
Oh, come on, Faith. One won't kill you. They don't have that shellfish taste.
Oh, the sauce is so good.
It has some kick to it, but it's a pleasant spicy.
Try it.
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 Try it. Try it.
Ignus in me est. Sanctum Principe Tenebrarum! Sanctum Principe Tenebrarum!
Oh my god, what's happening with Georgie?
Ave! Ave! Princeps Exquisitus Nigra! Ave! Ave!
Ave! Ave! Sanctum Principe Tenebrarum!
What is happening to everyone? Scott! Scott!
Try it. Try it. You must try it.
Just try it.
Scott! Your face. Your hands. Your... Oh my god, your eyes. Just get away from me!
Faith, take my hand. Let's get out of here, quick! Faith, now!
Oh my god!
Come on!
Okay!
Come with me! We gotta get out of here!
Faith! Such a pretty name!
Let go of my arm, Scott! Scott!
Faith.
Let go of me!
You got him! Now's our chance! Let's run, hurry!
I'm sorry. What was your name again?
Donovan.
Donovan. Godwin, what the hell just happened back there?
Look, I've known everyone back at that party for years. I can't even begin to explain it.
What do we do? Do we call the police?
I don't know. Let's just get as far away from that place as we can.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God, everybody that ate the fraud Diavolo, they all... I mean, everybody there was eating it, except for you and me and...
I know. I know.
You saw it too, right? I mean, they all started to change.
Look, I'm also very freaked out right now, Faith.
Oh, my God. Scott!
Oh, what about him?
Scott! Didn't you see him? Scott, oh my God. What if he comes looking for me? And what if he finds me with those hands and those eyes? Did you see his eyes? Oh, sweet Jesus, please tell me this is all a bad dream. Sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus.
Okay,
sweet
okay, Faith. We need to calm down right now.
I've never been so scared. Never. Jesus, help me. I've never asked you for anything before.
Faith, what are you doing?
Lord, I've never asked you for anything in this world because I wasn't sure. But now that I've seen that now that I know that... Oh, God!
Faith! 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 I swear, you're just ranting now!
No. Now I know he truly exists. It proves that you must exist, Jesus. Sweet Jesus, hear me, Lord, because I need you now like I never have before. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. My kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as is in...
Oh! Ah! All right, this is where you get off. Out!
What? What? You're kidding!
Out!
Why? You can't. It's pitch black out here, and it's raining. There can't be anyone around for miles.
How dare you say his name in my presence? Look, you may not serve me, but you will definitely obey me. Get out! Out!
Good Lord!
I'm warning you. I'm doing you a favor this time. This one time.
Okay. Why? You're...
Yes.
You're...
Yes, I am.
And you...
Prepared the sauce. The Fra Diavolo sauce. Yes. Think twice before you crash someone else's party next time, Faith. Good night, and good luck to you.
Delectable little truffle of a tune. That was the classic Pulling Muscles from the Shell by Squeeze, pan-seared and performed to perfection by Ms. Martina Da Silva. And now a word from one of our sponsors.
What are you chewing on, Alfie?
Take a look at that mason jar there on the table, Donna.
Ogilvy Organics Pickled Olive Pits? Interesting.
Yeah, I'm hooked. I just chew on them all day.
Wow, that's so brilliant.
It's an all-new way to enjoy olives without having to eat them. Try one.
Mmm.
Can you taste that?
What's that awesome flavor?
They take the pits from the olives and soak them in a sour mash whiskey brine. Organic sour mash whiskey brine.
So good.
And they're loaded with omega-3s, 4s, 5s, 6s, 7s, antioxidants, whole grains, pretty much everything that's supposed to be good for you.
And it says right here that the olives are free range.
Sure, if that's what it says.
I'm Stanford Ogilvy. For centuries, folks have senselessly thrown away countless tons of olive pits, neglecting many of the healthy and nutritional values they have to offer. Ogilvy Organics Pickled Pit Products is here at the dawn of a new day. Stewed and cured, grown and plucked locally right here in the pit of Park Slope, Brooklyn. The picking capital of the world. Visit our Organics Pickled Pit Emporium or order online at SaveThePits.org. That's SaveThePits.org. Ogilvy Organics Pickled Pit Products. Strictly the pits.
And that concludes Act One of our show. Perhaps it would be a good time now to give your strained nerves a little rest during our intermission. And judging by what's slithering under that covered dish in our corrupt kitchen, you might want to ask your trusty, lovely bartenders to make you a particularly strong one. Set your timers and see you in 10 minutes, darlings.
Thank you.
Will you just look at this beautiful audience? Oh, you. You delicious darlings, you. I could just eat you all up. No? Okay. I must say, though, that I am thankful, so very thankful for, well, if I'm thankful for anything this year, I am especially thankful for the amazing audiences that we've had at our shows. That's all of you. Well, so now that I have you all properly buttered up, this would be the right occasion to tenderize and season you for our next tale. The entree on tonight's menu, a nightmare in sound, we call Dandy Weather. For those of you listening at home, have you turned your lights out? Okay, good. Very good. Let's begin.
Hey.
So you're
over here, please, inside my beamer.
Oh, much warmer in here. You're Mr. Z, right?
What do you think? I don't have much time. Do you have it with you?
Do you have the cash?
Let me see it first.
You know what could happen to me if they found me with this?
I really don't care. Let me see it first.
I'm afraid. What if someone saw me sneak this out of the hospital? That's my job, my whole career.
Trust me, no one saw you. Let me see it, please.
Here.
Unwrap it, please.
Sure.
Oh, the foot. Good.
Yes, there it is. The very same one you asked about. Can I have my money now?
Here. Catch. Count it.
This is a lot of money. More than you offered me originally. Thank you.
Oh, no. We appreciate the risk you took in doing this task for us.
Mr. Z, can I ask, what are you going to do with that foot? I mean, I know the lady we amputated it from the other day won't be needing it or anything. Just a hunk of dead tissue. But, I mean, why didn't you just pick up one of these from a medical research lab or something?
Believe me, we looked into that first. All we could get was a foot in a jar of formaldehyde. Not good for us. Not what we're looking for.
You need this for some crazy underground medical experiment, I bet. Regenerating dead cells, cell research, something like that.
No, nothing like that. That's all I'll say. Okay, you have your money. Please exit the car, and hopefully we'll never see each other again. Have a good one, and enjoy your money.
Wanted to see how you're doing.
Oh, hi, Nancy.
You're using the crutches. Why aren't you using your wheelchair?
I'm sick of that thing already.
How does it... I mean, how do you feel?
I keep thinking I still have a right foot, if that's what you mean.
I'm so sorry.
That phantom limb sensation you hear about? It's true. Very true. I keep thinking it's there. Especially when I'm in bed. Especially when I dream at night.
Well, I know it's a small consolation, but you'll probably never have to work again. You must have quite a lawsuit shaping up.
I'll be getting around to that at some point, I suppose.
Suppose? You need to get on top of that pronto, honey. Don't keep putting that off. Just the same, I'm always going to think twice before I ride another escalator again after what happened to you. It's not just the money. You have to sue them to make sure this never happens again.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah? You sound hesitant.
It's just
you have to sue them. Sue the stuffing out of them. They have the money. Plenty of it, believe you me.
They're struggling to get by these days, it seems.
Oh, don't fall for that. I tell you, those people are loaded. I bet they're all old money types. What's the matter, Meg?
Nothing. I appreciate you stopping by, but I think I need to lie down for a bit.
You sure you're okay? Nothing I can do for you?
I'm all right, Nancy. Thanks.
You give me a holler right away if you need anything. Understand?
Okay. Thank you. Lawsuit. I can't sue them. I love Dandy Weathers. It's my favorite department store. Oh, what am I gonna do? Coming, Nancy. Guess you forgot something.
Hello. Are you Megan Stover?
Oh, hello. Yes, are you detectives?
No, ma'am.
Oh, I see. Yeah, if you're lawyers, I'm not ready to discuss a case right now.
Oh, we're not attorneys, Miss Stover.
Well, if you're Jehovah's Witnesses, I'm sorry, but
We're not soliciting for any religious organization, and we're not here to sell you anything, Miss Stover.
We're actually here to buy something. May we come in for a few minutes?
Buy? You want to buy my apartment? Well, I'm only a renter. You'd have to talk to the...
We're not looking to buy this apartment. But we would like to talk to you about something you own.
May we come in?
Okay, I suppose.
Thank you.
Can I offer you two something to drink?
Oh, that's all right. No, thank you, Miss Stover.
We should get right down to it, shouldn't we, dear?
Yes, let's not take up too much of Miss Stover's time. First of all, we're very sorry about your accident. That you had to lose a foot. And we're sorry to appear so mysterious and cryptic. Oh, well, how do we begin? Well, for reasons I'll get into in a moment, I'm Ms. Y, and this is my husband, Mr. X. Sounds a little creepy, I know.
We don't mean to come off that way.
I don't understand.
Oh, it's okay, Ms. Stover. As we told you, we're not the police or insurance agents or roaming evangelists or a real estate broker.
Well, I don't know about this Mr. X and Miss Y business. What's with the aliases? It does make me a bit uncomfortable, to be completely honest.
Oh, well, I can see why you'd feel that way, poor darling. I'd be a nerve, too, if I was in your shoes.
You said you wanted to buy something? I'm telling you, I have nothing to sell. I don't own anything of any value. I'm barely able to get by, and now my life just got a bit more difficult, as you can plainly see.
Oh, but you have something that is of great potential value to us.
What?
Miss Stover, I'm going to write a figure on the back of this index card, and then I'm going to hand it to you. That is what we're prepared to offer you.
In cash?
Here.
Oh, my, no, you're pulling my leg.
Oh, no.
Well?
What's that?
With that sum, I think it's safe to assume that you'd be set for life. It's more than you'd receive from any lawsuit or settlement.
That is a lot. A lot. It's a lot of money. It's a lot.
No hassles of long, drawn-out court cases or insurance company claim.
Oh, well, that's what's so heavy on my heart right now. You know, although I lost my foot when it got caught on their escalator, I love Dandy Weathers. Oh, it's always been my favorite store ever since I was a little girl. It's been there in this town for so many years. One of the only things left from the good old days. No. You know, they've been struggling to survive this past decade with the advent of Walmart and all that. If I sued them, I would surely win. And I would surely be landing them a death blow. My conscience wouldn't be able to handle it.
Well, you wouldn't have to worry about that if you accepted our offer.
You wouldn't have to work that dead-end job anymore. You'd begin to live a new life.
What is this offer? What do you want to buy?
Well, let me tell you a little bit about us. Although we're not much in the public eye, my husband and I, well, we're well situated and we're upstanding citizens. We frequently donate large sums to charitable organizations and the like, anonymously, of course. We have a zest for life and a love for people who do good in this world.
But our real passion is food.
Who doesn't love food?
Well, true. But we're a little different from most folks. We're what the French would call les extrêmes gourmands.
Extreme eaters is what that means, Miss Stover.
Extreme?
My wife and I have founded a private club for extreme eaters. We only have 10 members at the moment, all very wealthy individuals.
Individuals who seek the highest of possible highs from the culinary experience.
Those whose palates have refused to be worn down and desensitized by the treadmill of the traditionally processed foods and artificial flavors.
Oh.
We understand it's not for everyone, but for certain experiences, our club is willing to pay top dollar.
Top dollar.
What do the members of your club eat?
For example, we'll eat every single part of an animal.
Every part.
We'll eat things most people in general society will find, for lack of a better word, repulsive.
Eating for us is an adventure. The more extreme, the better.
Eating is life, and to eat is to live. I mean, truly live.
Oh, well.
We understand that what we do is not for everyone.
We've tried just about everything a human being can eat and digest.
I personally believe it was after we ate those live tarantulas that we hit something of a wall. Don't you agree, dear?
Well, those were exquisite, but I can see what you mean. I actually loved how the hairs, they just tickled my throat. You know, it's all in the technique, you see. Eating them, that is. As long as you position, well, rather angle the spider in your mouth correctly. Just like so. Well, there's no way the spider's venom can... Oh, Miss Dover.
I'm sorry. I'm a bit squeamish. Can we please get back to the subject now?
Let me just try to come out with it.
Yes, just come out with it, dear. We're taking up too much of her time.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do, darling. There was just one thing we hadn't tried at all until recently.
Human flesh.
Yes, human flesh.
What? That's disgusting. What? That's horrible.
It's okay, Miss Dover. It's all right. This is, well, it's the kind of reaction we were anticipating.
It's sick!
Just hear us out a moment.
It's not what it seems. Oh, dear. This is just what I was afraid of.
Look, you two, I...
You must bear in mind, we're not murderers. We don't want to kill another human being. Not ever.
A murderer is the lowest form of scum. There is no fouler crime than murder. Everyone in the club feels the same way.
But we need you to take note.
It's not necessary to kill anyone to sample human flesh.
We're not looking to slaughter anyone.
We just wanted to be able to say we tried it. You know, to satisfy that curiosity.
It's a completely consensual agreement between us and...
And our donor.
Donor? What? Okay, this is too much.
But you see, for us, it's all about that dining experience that takes us out of the dullness of ordinary life.
Mm-hmm. Are you trying to tell me that you two have actually eaten human flesh? A real human person?
Well, just once. Well, not a whole person. far from it.
Well, we're not looking to eat a whole person.
No. We merely sampled just a little tiny, teensy-weensy bit. So far, that is.
It was, in fact, your foot, Mrs. Stover.
I see. Huh. Yeah, this is quite a prank, you two. But I'm sorry. I'm not laughing, and I think I'd like you to leave.
I understand, Ms. Stover. This sounds extremely morbid and distasteful to your ears.
We really don't mean to be offensive, really.
This is why we have to be so discreet.
You ate my foot! Really? Yeah, you two really are sick. You know that?
We went through a lot of trouble to get a discarded, amputated body part from a hospital. It happened to be yours. We roasted it at our last club gathering, but it didn't...
Oh, okay. And I suppose you want to eat the rest of my leg now, huh, sickos?
Well...
Just the calf.
You see, it has more meat than the foot.
I can't tell if you two are for real, but I want you out of here now. Prank or no prank, I think I'm going to contact the authorities about you two.
We knew that when we came here, in all probability, you'd react this way. It's no problem, Miss Stover. I'm truly sorry that we offended you. It's a very natural and understandable reaction.
Like we said, we knew the risk that was involved when we contacted you.
This is a joke! It has to be! Where's the hidden camera? Hello? Hello? You got me? Ha! Ha ha ha!
Here.
Ha,
ha. Here. Please, accept this. It's for any trouble or inconvenience we may have caused you. And it's not a joke.
What is this?
The cash in that envelope is all yours. Just for letting us have some of your time, Miss Stover. It's yours to keep.
You can forget this visit ever happened.
We are very, very sorry. Sincerely.
But if ever you should change your mind, call the number written on the back of the envelope and we'll be happy to reopen the dialogue.
Just the same, take the time and get over. You're just the kind of person we'd like to help.
Oh, and why is that?
We have no family, few friends. No savings, no job, you owe months in back rent. Broken down car, huge medical expenses, no money coming in.
Not unless you decide to sue Dandy Weathers.
Well, let's be on our way, dear. Good afternoon, Ms. Stover.
Take this envelope of yours with you.
Oh, it's yours now. You'll have to throw it in the garbage if you don't want it. Goodbye, and thanks again.
I told you she'd never go for it.
I'll give her a few days. The money will be too hard to resist. You can smell the longing on her. The reek of missed opportunities and broken dreams. And she's our girl, I tell you.
No need to be so cruel about it, darling. I'd sincerely like to see the old girl get a new lease on life.
Oh, me too. Me too, my dear.
She could have made a lot of trouble for us, but she didn't. You have to appreciate that at the very least.
Well, you two took a big chance exposing yourselves like that. You're lucky she didn't recognize either of you. So we finally got to taste human flesh, after all, when we ate her foot. I don't see why we have to keep pressing on like this. Can't we move forward?
No, because that foot wasn't fresh. There was hardly any good meat on it.
It was a bit gamey, I admit. Well, it's still better than the chimpanzee meat we tried last year, I must say.
I didn't care for the chimp chops either. Thought. Why don't we just use our heads for a moment and try to secure another discarded body from the hospital instead? We have the means.
Look, this whole thing is perfect. It fell right into our laps. A gift from the gods. I want us to be able to sample human flesh just once more. But this time, I want it to be an optimal experience. That foot was a total disaster. Poorly planned and hastily executed without any respect for the art of hot cuisine. Haute. This time, I'd like it to be more of a choice cut and totally fresh. Also, as always, we like to know exactly where our food is coming from. To buy local, so to speak.
Oh, well, I absolutely agree. This is a very sacred rite, in my view, and it's imperative that we know the person that it's coming from. This is a human being, after all, and this is a tremendous sacrifice.
Mark my words, friends. This experience will be the one to top them all. The one we'll remember for the rest of our lives. The final frontier for the Gastronomers Club.
Yes! Wonder, where will we be able to go from there once we've truly experienced it to our ultimate satisfaction?
Hopefully not to prison.
Hello. Miss Stover. I can't understand you. You're crying. Yes? Yes. Yes, the offer still stands. Yes, yes, for the same amount. Yes, one of the members of our club is a surgeon. He would perform... Yes. Yes, he runs a private clinic. We'd only need to ask one more thing. That you'd go on a special diet for 2 weeks in preparation before the procedure. Is correct.
Yes.
Just checking in on you. We just wanted to make sure that you're doing well and that you're comfortable.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
On behalf of the club, I also wanted to thank you for what you did for us. It was an enormous sacrifice that you made, and everyone truly appreciates what you've done. I'm glad that you reconsidered at the last minute and decided to go through with it after all. No one can blame you for being scared at first. Miss Stover?
Yes, I'm here.
You know we're going to make sure you're well taken care of for as long as you live. You're moving to the new house soon, I take it?
Yes.
I can only imagine how strange all of this must be to you. But I felt compelled to call you. The dinner was a resounding success.
And we have no one to thank but you.
I'm glad.
I have to confess, Miss Stover. How do I say this? It's the first time we've ever had such a consensus at the club. Usually at least one or two members have some kind of critique or misgiving of some sort. Not this time, no. Not this time, not one.
Why are you telling me this?
It's just that Miss Stover, Meg, I can't believe I'm uttering this to you out loud. It's just that I don't know if I'll ever have any experience, anything as delicious as we just had last night. None of us were really prepared for the reaction we had to. It was transformative is the only word I know to say.
I don't think I want to hear any more.
God forgive me, Meg, but it was the purest form of ecstasy that I will ever know. I have to tell you, I'm having such trouble getting over it. We all are. I'm trembling at the very thought. I can't seem to stop the trembling.
Please stop.
Meg, we're going to make the soup tomorrow night. Using your tibia bone. I can't wait for the soup.
Meg, let me give you a hand there.
Oh, no, I'm all right. Just hand me my other crutch, please.
Be careful, hon. There's ice everywhere.
I'm good at getting around on my own. Don't worry.
It's funny you going back to dandy weathers on a day when the weather is less than dandy.
You know, now that I've come into a little money, I'm going to do some real shopping. Today's the big white sale. Who knows? Maybe one day I can own a dandy weather store of my own, huh? Heck, maybe I'll buy this one.
Well, promise me that you'll do a better job of cleaning the ice and snow from the parking lot than they do.
Oh, God, I know. You know, back in their glory days, they never would... Oh my God,
Meg! Oh, Meg, oh no! Meg, are you all right? Help! Help! Somebody come help me! She fell pretty hard on her head. Help!
Well, what I can tell you for sure is that she's still alive, but the fact of the matter is, she's paralyzed. She fractured 3 vertebrae in her neck and can no longer breathe on her own. Though there was some head trauma, we do not believe that she suffered any permanent brain damage. She can't talk, but she is conscious. You can see her if you like.
Thank you, Doctor. Perhaps in a moment. We're all devastated by what's happened to Miss Stover. The poor woman, no family or friends, and now this cruel tragedy.
Well,
such an unlucky person.
She's lucky to have people like you.
Lucky. We're the reason she's in that hospital bed. I can't sleep at night. We're all racked with guilt about what happened to Miss Stover. And think she never once took action against us.
We're going to see to it that she has the very best of care, that she will want for nothing. It's the very least we could do.
I'd like to keep her under observation for a few more days, and then we should have her transferred to your private clinic.
Thank you, Doctor. We appreciate that.
You're welcome. You know, it's odd. Her charts indicate that she had her foot amputated after that accident she had in your store, Mr. Dandyweather. But her entire leg below the knee is gone? I'm not sure it matters anymore.
That is odd. Very odd.
We'll have to look into that, won't we, dear? Darling. Oh, my darling, are you okay? Oh, your hands. Oh, they're trembling again.
Hello? I have a delivery. Some flowers for Miss Megan Stovers.
Oh, yes. Is that from...
Everyone at Dandyweather's department stores?
Yes, yes. That's from us. Right this way, lad. She's in here.
Astronomers Club, they're called. Such thoughtful folks they are, aren't they? Well, so I must indulge in, I'll admit it, hastily thrown in reference to Trey Parker's Cannibal the Musical. I think I know precisely what I mean when I say it's a shpadoinkle day. Nobody? Okay. Today we celebrate the shpadoinkle birthday of the scrumptious Ms. Courtney Jillian Cholovich. She shares a birthday with Boris Karloff, one of our prized influences for this show. But so I just want to take this moment to raise a glass to her, Miss Courtney Jillian Cholovich, and to our other November birthday babies, Mr. Eric Davy Gisleson, Mr. James Reeser, and Mr. Gus Rodriguez. Woo! Cheers, y'all. Okay, so now... Thank goodness you all have such strong constitutions. I hope you have room for a little more. Still? A little more? Yeah? Open wide. Tonight's final story is your delectable dessert from our menacing menu. A twisted and terrifying truffle of a tale called By Bread Alone.
Tess, when was the last time we passed a gas station?
I don't know, dear. There was one when we were getting off the highway, but that was about 2 hours ago.
Dang it. I knew we should have filled up before we took your uncle's tried-and-true backroads route, he suggested.
Mm. There sure are a lot of wheat fields out here, huh? Not what I envisioned when Uncle Early said scenic.
And pull out the map, will you? See if you can figure out where that closest town is. Gonna run out of gas soon, and we're in the middle of nowhere.
I haven't seen another car on this road either. Very strange.
Yeah, everyone's probably still enjoying their Thanksgiving weekends. Splitting time between both of our families is starting to be a real pain.
You know, we don't always have to go to both.
You mean we don't always have to go to my folks' place. I know you hate it there.
Arnold, don't put words in my mouth. Let me take a look at this map.
Any luck?
How many miles are we off the highway again?
I'd say about 60.
Looks like there might be something in about 10 miles. Dexter Falls? I think that's what it says. This map is so wrinkled.
Okay, where do I need to go?
This road should take us right to the center of it. Just keep going. Welcome to Demeter Falls. How charming.
Oh, so it's Demeter and not Dexter.
I told you, the map was wrinkled and I couldn't quite make out the name.
Well, we made it. Not a moment too soon. You see a gas station anywhere?
No, just those smokestacks. Looks like this is some sort of factory town. Damn it!
Great. Car conked out on us in the middle of this nothing town. Are these shops open?
Probably not. It is Thanksgiving, after all.
Looks like the whole town is dark. Not a car to be seen anywhere, either.
Let's get out and look around. This is just the main drag, it looks like.
Not much one, either. Mm.
All these windows have a film of dust on them.
That's not dust. It's flour.
You startled me.
Whoa, fella, ever heard of announcing yourself? Almost scared my wife to death.
Sorry, folks. See, we don't get many visitors in these parts. Came out of the bakery right over there. Saw you pull in. Having car troubles, are you?
I'm fine. We've been driving for hours and haven't seen a living soul since we got off the highway in Chesterfield. Wasn't expecting to run into anyone.
Hey, is there a gas station anywhere near here?
Is that what happened to your car? Run out of gas?
Yes. We didn't know we'd be driving on such remote roads.
I pulled my truck around, taking the near station. Afraid it ain't near walking distance, though.
That's very kind of you, but it's Thanksgiving. We don't want to pull you away from your family.
Not to worry. Just Mother and me. And we don't really celebrate Thanksgiving.
Are you Canadian or something?
Arnold, this man is trying to help us.
No, sir. We're just not celebrating this year, it looks like.
Well, all the same, if you could just point us in the direction of the gas station, I'm sure we can manage on our own.
Arnold, it's about 30 degrees out here. I'm not trudging down an old country road in the freezing cold on Thanksgiving. Sir, I'm sorry, what's your name?
Silas, ma'am. And you're right, it is cold out here. Just give me a minute and I'll get that truck.
Thank you, Silas. You're our knight in shining armor. Mine, anyway. Looks like my usual guy decided to take the day off.
Well, it is a holiday, Tess. Okay, Silas, was it? We'd appreciate the ride. I'm Arnold, by the way. My wife's name is Tess.
Pleased to make your acquaintance, folks. I don't want you two to get delayed more than you already are. Back in a jiffy with that truck.
I swear to God, Tess, if this guy ends up eating us for Thanksgiving dinner, I will give you hell on the other side.
Oh, come on! Did you see how thin he was? I could probably knock him over with my fingertip. I wonder if they're going through some sort of famine here.
Famine? How could you starve in the middle of all this wheat? He was awfully skinny, though.
I wonder if we should offer him some food?
Nuh-uh. All we have is that chocolate pecan pie your Aunt Maybell made. And I look forward to it all year.
Maybe he doesn't celebrate Thanksgiving because he doesn't have any food. And his mother, too. I bet she's elderly. Just think about it, Arnold. He's doing us a favor.
If we don't know what sort of favor he's about to bestow upon us, I'm thinking when we have gas in our car. Besides, I'd rather give him $50 than part with one slice of that pie.
Oh, here he comes. Oh, looks like a delivery truck. I only see a passenger's seat. And someone's in it.
What does it say on the side there? It's faded out.
By bread alone.
Good! Didn't scare you off. This year's my mother, Millie. Mother, these two young people are Tess. And Arnold.
Oh, hello, dears. Oh, you must be freezing. Silas here told me you got your car into a little bit of a pickle.
Yes, afraid we ran out of gas.
Well, my son will get you to the filling station. It's a bit of a drive, though, about half an hour away.
That's very kind of you. I promise we'll pay you for your own gas that you'll be using to get us there and back. But might I ask where we can go in the truck?
Only has one passenger seat. It's an old delivery truck from when the Brad factories were working.
By bread alone.
Oh, well, that's right, dear. Our family owns, well, we used to own the biggest bread factory in the Southeast.
Silas, so what you said about this dust being flour, that's true?
It is. People stopped washing their windows. It was useless. Flour's always in the air, and then there just stopped being anybody around to care.
What happened?
Great Depression. We held on for a little while. By bread alone made all sorts of baked goods, but our biggest business was the communion wafers.
Brilliant business model right here in the heart of the Bible Belt.
But you have to have wheat to make flour or bread. And right smack dab in the middle of the Depression, Demeter Falls had a drought and the farmers just couldn't make it to the next crop.
And then we had to start letting go of our factory workers. This town, it used to be bustling, and it always smelled like fresh baked bread.
But you still own that little bakery up the street there?
Oh, we do. Just me and Silas run it. We do a small mail order business. Still makes and meets with the communion wafers. We use the falls a few miles away to run a grist mill for the flour. It's old fashioned, but it works well enough.
And Mom makes the sticky buns that are practically sinful.
Well, that's what the communion wafers are for. To help purify your soul after indulging in my sinful sticky buns.
Sorry to cut this story short, but how are we all going to fit in this truck?
Oh, I understand, sir. I'm sure you and your wife want to get on your way. I keep forgetting it's Thanksgiving. How about you come with me and Tess can stay behind with Mom? This old truck don't have any heat anywhere. I wouldn't want your wife to be uncomfortable.
Oh, that's so thoughtful of you. I'm just going to go get my purse. Arnold, you'll probably need your gloves, so can you come back with me to the car?
Just grab them for me, they're in the glove compartment. How appropriate. Right?
Yeah, but you know how the glove compartment needs to be jimmied open? I can't do it. Just come over here to the car with me really quick.
What? What are you... Oh, right. Coming, sweetheart.
I don't like this.
Like what? You were the one who said we can't walk to the gas station because it's so cold. Now you don't want me to go?
It's just weird. Both of them, Silas and Millie, they look like they're ill. They're so thin. How do you run a bakery and be that skinny? I mean, all I have to do is look at a carb and I gain 5 pounds.
They're poor. Didn't you hear? They can't...
This dang glove compartment. Just give us a minute.
No rush, man.
Look, I'll be gone less than an hour, and then we'll be on our way. It's not like I'm sending off the guy. You get to hang out in a warm bakery with that nice little old lady.
I guess you're right. Please be quick, okay? There's just something off about this whole scene. Something weird about a man living with just his mother in a Great Depression ghost town.
I'll be back before you know it. Just don't give away Mabel's pie. Okay, looks like we got it.
Ready to go now?
All set.
Bye for now.
Well, Tess, dear, why don't you come with me and get out of this cold? I'll make up a fresh batch of sticky buns.
Thank you, Millie. I may just have to take you up on that. It is Thanksgiving, after all.
It's a shame. I hardly even notice it anymore.
That is a shame. If I worked in a bakery, I swear I would be as big as a house.
Yes, that is an occupational hazard here.
Obviously not for you. You're so trim.
Oh, well, you should have seen me in the good years. Figure I had on me in my 20s. I'm afraid I lost it. It's all skin and bones now. Oh, that'd be my sticky buns. I usually have them cool for a few minutes, but let's get you a fresh, gooey one for you to try.
I can't believe I'm about to eat yet another dessert today. Arnold and I were on our way from my Uncle Early's place in Chesterfield, where we had our first Thanksgiving dinner. His parents' house is our next stop.
Oh, that must be lovely to have both of your families nearby.
Well, yeah, I guess it is kind of nice. I just don't get along really well with Arnold's family. I get the feeling his mother doesn't really like me.
Oh, well, same song, new reverse. What mother likes to see their son leave home? I've been lucky in a way. Silas has stayed close to home. I think he feels he needs to, well, to take care of me.
That's very noble of him. Well, he is our knight in shining armor today. Sorry to be nosy, but what happened to Silas's father?
Oh, it's perfectly all right. Silas' father is dead. Now I better get those buns out of the oven before they burn.
Those smell divine.
I'll just put a quick honey glaze on them. It's the best part. All right, here you go, dear. You just eat up.
I could die and go to heaven.
What was that there?
I could die and go to heaven.
Oh, well, you're so kind. It's an old family recipe. Older than me, which is very old.
Aren't you going to have one?
Afraid I can't. Oh, I wish I could.
Why not? You can't possibly be on a diet.
Religious purposes. I can't eat anything right now.
Oh, are you fasting? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have assumed. Just with the communion wafers, I just thought you were Baptist like everyone else in these parts.
I guess you could say I'm fasting. It's a bit unorthodox. I'm part of a rather small sect of believers.
Seventh-day Adventist?
No, dear. I'm a sin eater. Descended from a long line of sin eaters. My Silas is too.
Sin eaters? I've never heard of that. Do you speak in tongues like Pentecostals?
It is an ancient practice. Silas and I are the only ones of our kind who still exist. Well, that I know of, anyway. And it's the end of the line, unless Silas miraculously finds a wife and has children of his own.
What do sin eaters... What do you do?
Well, it's similar to last rites, except it's performed after someone has died, but before the soul has left the body. When there has been a death, someone from the family brings a sin eater to the corpse to perform the ritual.
Oh, interesting. What does that involve exactly?
Well, like any religion, there are nuances. And in the sect I was brought up in, the only time we can eat is when we're consuming the departed sins. And there hasn't been a death in these parts in quite some time. Not a human death, anyway.
I'm confused. How does one consume sin? It's not cannibalism, is it?
No, dear, nothing of the sort. Once a family seeks to have their dead sins absolved, they call upon a sin eater. Then a loaf of bread is laid out, or in my family's tradition, sticky buns, along with a glass of ale that is set over the corpse. The body acts as a table. When we, sin eaters, consume the bread and drink the ale, we take on the sins of the departed.
Oh, how interesting. I guess that's not too far from the symbolism of communion, partaking of Christ's body and blood through the bread and wine and all that.
Well, sin eaters do aspire to be Christ-like. It is a lonely life, though. There was a stigma when it was more common that we were unclean.
Because of the sins you take on?
Precisely. There was a rumor that my grandfather had to leave his town after he ate the sins of a convicted murderer who was sent to the electric chair. The felon's family paid him a year's salary at the time to do it, but my grandfather was never accepted back into society. Well, that's how my family came to be here in Demeter Falls.
Was your husband a sin eater, too?
No, he wasn't. It's passed down through bloodlines, and George was a carpetbagger who came through town when I was 17. Oh, we had a whirlwind romance, and He didn't even know what he was marrying into. He stuck around anyway, and he adored his Silas. But he died about a year ago.
I'm so sorry, Millie. I was under the impression your husband died a long time ago. You must still be mourning.
Oh, he was a good man and a good father, but he never took to my habits, as he called them. Blame me for Silas not going off and having a normal life. It was his time to go, you know.
How have you and Silas been able to survive this long if the only time you can ever eat is when someone dies and you're called upon? This town seems deserted.
It is deserted. Families so slowly died off. Lots of accidents happen out in those wheat fields and in these old factories. Plenty of opportunities for trouble. Not a lot of people around to hear you scream. Simple accidents turn into fatalities. No one around to help.
I'm very warm. I'm going to step outside and get some
air.
Yes, yes.
You look pale, dear. Stay seated. Let me get you some water. Silas and I took to trying to eat the sins of dead animals to get by. And he would go out hunting, and he'd bring back a deer. We would eat sticky buns over its still warm body, but it just never tasted as good as eating a human sins. Some argue that animals don't have souls. You know, that's likely true. The bread would taste like sawdust in our mouths. Drink that water, Tess.
Is that Arnold? Arnold! Arnold!
Tess, dear, why are you yelling? It's just Silas.
They haven't been gone long enough to have gotten the gas, have they? It's only been like 20 minutes. It should have taken them an hour at least. Arnold! What did you do? What's in that bag? Where's Arnold?
He sure put up a fight. Well, those small, we'll smell, well, oh, those sweet rolls will sure smell good, Mama.
Get far, not in this cold in the dark. Silas, you help me get Arnold onto the table here.
Yes, Ma. Ma, can we do it together? You need to eat too.
Thank you, my son. Get the ale. I have the sweet rolls right here. All set. Now.
We give rest now to thee. Come not down the lanes or in our meadows. And for thy peace, we pawn our own souls. Amen.
Get it, Mom.
people, the ones who killed my husband. Oh, God, look, there he is. He's still there on the table.
Well, I'll be. Aunt Millie, Cousin Silas. I was hoping it was true. Thanksgiving finally came back into Demir Falls.
Have mercy, it sure is. Here, have a sticky bun, Percy. This one's got plenty of sin to go around.
Aunt Millie, what is this? Officer, for the love of God, arrest these murderers!
Oh, no, ma'am. Millie and Silas are doing your husband an honor. He'll be let right into the pearly gates once they eat away all that sin.
I'm gonna be sick.
Found her running down the road, Aunt Millie. No jacket or nothing. She would have froze herself to death if she'd been out there much longer.
Oh, well, how kind of you, Percy. God bless you.
Well, it was the Christian thing to do. Mm-hmm. Brought her right to you, just like we agreed. Sorry I haven't been able to find anyone before now. No one ever comes down these back roads since they finished the highway.
Oh, that's all right, Percy. We had faith in you all along. Our prayers have finally been answered. Tess, sweetheart, I am sorry we have been so rude. Please, meet Cousin Percival. He's our town hero.
Don't worry, Tessie. We're not going to hurt you. Percy needed to bring you here for me, Tess, so that the sin eaters don't die out.
What a pretty woman she is, isn't she, Silas? She'll make a fine wife for you, I think.
I won't. I'd rather die.
Miss, these are good people. You should be down on your knees thanking God the Creator that my dear family's gonna take you into their home after your husband's, accident.
Accident? It wasn't an accident, I tell you. Silas killed him on purpose. For what? A piece of bread? Oh, God.
For eternal rest and peace, Miss Tess. Your husband is in heaven now, thanks to Aunt Millie.
Why don't you take a little rest and think about it, dear? I'm surprised you've lasted this long. I'm sure that this has been quite an ordeal for you.
Please, don't you cry, Tessie. You know, you can sleep in my room.
And I'll make you fresh sticky buns every morning for breakfast. You loved them a few minutes ago. It's going to be a fresh new start for us all.
It sure will be nice to have another lady around. Oh, no offense, Aunt Millie.
No, none taken, Percy. We're going to be a family now. A real family again. You'll grow to love us. And you'll have my grandchildren. Sticky buns every day for my new daughter. Oh, now isn't that a lovely thought?
I won't. I'll kill myself. I'll run away again. I'll run away. I will.
There. We won't let you do that. This won't be so bad. I'll be a good husband. I promise. And Ma, she'll show you how to work the bakery, and most important of all, you'll have the favor of the Lord.
Besides, Percy will never let you leave Demeter Falls. He's looking out for our family. Your family now.
Tessie, our children will be sin eaters. And you know, sin eaters, well, they help people. You'll see. It'll all work out.
Oh, yes. Praise Jesus. You know, we have so much to be thankful for today. Here, Tess, sweetheart, eat some of this sticky bun. It'll make you feel better. the delectable and delicious Martina Da Silva singing the succulent old standard, Sugar Time, in case you didn't get that. And now a few words from one of our sponsors.
Boy, you think Uncle John can do it?
I don't know. He's got a long way to go.
That is a lot of pasta, my friends. How will he ever be able to finish all of that?
It's impossible.
Tonight, dare to do the impossible with the Spaghetti Clearinghouse's Tuesday Night Bottomless Pasta. We guarantee that you won't be able to finish our big bottomless pasta bowl entree. But if you can, it's absolutely free.
It's impossible.
Keep it going. You can do it, Uncle John.
How can one guy fit all that pasta inside?
If he finishes all that, it's free.
Oh, that's an excellent value.
Look at those veins bulging in Uncle John's neck. I don't think he can go on much longer. I hope he finishes. I think I left my wallet at home.
No, Uncle John!
Except no impostas. And come to the Spaghetti Clearinghouse out on Highway 7 in Stuttheimer. Tuesday night, bottomless pasta. Take the challenge and dare to do the impossible.
In the Inferno of the Divine Comedy, it is in the third circle of hell that Dante and Virgil encounter the lost souls guilty of the sin of gluttony. Now that your bellies are nice and full, we'd like to offer you a few little wafer thin after dinner mints of vintage verse to aid you in your digestion. Five short odes to the delicious and malicious deadly sin known as gluttony.
Glutton by Jean de La Fontaine. A sturgeon once, a glutton famed, was led to have for supper all, except the head. With wondrous glee, he feasted on the fish and quickly swallowed down the royal dish. O'ercharged, however, his stomach soon gave way, and doctors were required without delay. The danger imminent, his friends desired he'd settle everything affairs required. Said he, "In that respect, I'm quite prepared. And since my time so little is declared, with diligence I earnestly request the sturgeon's head you'll get me nicely dressed."
On Gut by Ben Jonson. Gut eats all day and lechers all the night, so all his meat he tasteth over twice, and, striving so to double his delight, he makes himself a thoroughfare of vice. Thus in his belly can he change a sin, lust it comes out, gluttony when he's eaten.
The Glutton by Sylvia Plath. He, hunger-strung, hard to slake, so fit it is for my black luck, with heat such as no man could have, and yet keep kind, that all merits in being meat, seasoned how he'd most approve. Blood's broth, filched by his hand, choice wassail makes, cooked hot, cupped quick to mouth. Though prime parts cram each rich meal, he'll not spare, nor scant his want until sack larder's gone bone bare.
Hope is a subtle glutton by Emily Dickinson. Hope is a subtle glutton. He feeds upon the fare, and yet inspected closely, what abstinence is there? His is the halcyon table that never seats but one, and whatsoever is consumed, the same amount remains.
And can we leave you with one more? The Sick Child by the Honorable Wilhelmina Skeggs. Weakness seizes on my mind. I would more pudding take, but all in vain I feel. I feel my little head will ache. Oh, that I might alone be left to rest where now I am, and finish with a piece of bread, that pot of currant jam. I gaze upon the cake with tears, and wildly I deplore that I must take a powder if I touch a morsel more. Or oil a castor, smoothly bland, will offered be to me in wave pellucid, floating on a cup of milkless tea. It may be so, I cannot tell, I yet may do without. They need not know, when left alone, what I have been about. I long to eat that potted leaf, to taste that apple pie. I long to eat some more, but have not strength to try. I gasp for breath, and now I know I've eaten far too much. Not one more crumb of all the feast before me can I touch. Susan, oh Susan, ring the bell and call for mother dear. My brain swims round, I feel it all. Mother, your child is queer. And that concludes tonight's program. We do hope that you enjoyed it, that we sated your bellies. Let's give a huge hand for our singularly superlative cast. Oh, they're sweet and savory. Ms. Courtney Jillian Cholovich. Mr. James Reeser. Ms. Annabelle Rollison. Mr. Eric Davy Gislison. Mr. Daniel Grave. Mr. Bill Heydrich. Our live musical score was improvised and performed by the mighty, delicious Mr. Steve Blanco. Our wonderful vocalist was the delectable Ms. Martina Da Silva. Yum, yum. Our theme music is by BAFTA award-winning composer Mr. Jason Graves. You can follow him on the Twitter at JG Music and find him on the Facebook by searching for Jason Graves Music. Our sound effects engineer was the incomparably delectable Mr. Greg Ross. Nom, 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 nom. Special thanks to the divine and most deliciously delightful staff at the Slipper Room. Our show was written by Mr. Sylvan Sandovar and Mrs. Rebecca Graves. It was produced by myself. And Mr. Daniel Graves, Mrs. Rebecca Graves, and Mr. Gustavo Rodriguez. Hey, you guys, we return to the Slipper Room Sunday, 21st of December. Get that, everybody, for our Holiday Haunts show, an evening where more than chestnuts may be roasting on the open fire. Tickets are on sale now at slipperroom.com. And, oh, if you haven't already, be sure to just do subscribe to the Fireside Mystery Theater podcast. Woo! On the iTunes, where you can enjoy this program soon and other past programs. You can also follow us on Facebooks, Twitters, Instagram, Vines. There are probably other things, but all of those good things, you can find us. This is me, Your very own, ever so grateful, Ali Silva. I wish you and yours a very happy, happy Thanksgiving. Revel in the glow of family and friends bound together with sincerest gratitude and hearty abundance. But remember, once the dishes have been cleared and you repose in the blissful haze of food coma, you must still be sure to mind the shadows. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Fireside Mystery Theater. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast and please rate and review us on iTunes. For live show dates, please visit our website at firesidemysterytheater.com. And be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. As always, be sure to mind the shadows.